how do you really build brand advocates? Because essentially this is free PR for your brand. So what are you doing with your loyal customers? How are you rewarding them? And how are you really getting them to tell all their friends about your brand?
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. I love to give a little shout out to the listeners who are kind enough to take the time to post a review of the show. And I've got a shout out to do in this episode. Huge thanks to Jonet Pink, who put a review on Spotify. I was going to say Shopify there. We all know it's not called Shopify. On Spotify about our TikTok and TikTok shop success strategies episode. Jonet Pink said, great episode, enlightening. I had no idea that TT were absolutely head-to-head with Amazon with infrastructure. It's interesting to see the way this is evolving. Thanks for great content, Chloe. Well, Jonet Pink, thank you so much for sharing that on our Spotify channel. We really, really appreciate it. And if you would like a shout out at the start of an episode, then just go to ecmp.info/review to find out how to leave a review yourself. In this episode, we're doing one of our occasional masterclass series, and this time the subject is wholesale. Just how do you get your product into those big retail stores and keep it there? We are going into all the key things you need to know about why you should consider selling to the big retail stores, for starters. We're going to be talking about how to choose which stores you should be going into, how to contact the buyers and get yourself listed, how long that might take, other ways to get the attention of the buyers. We're going to be talking about how to then make sure you stay in the store as well, because just because you're on the shelf doesn't mean you're going to stay on the shelf. Plus, my guest is sharing some amazing resources too. Please listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips and my own take on this episode. Do Finder's upgraded intelligent product recommendations make it easy to increase your revenue with little effort? The AI-powered system automates cross-selling, ensuring your customers see exactly what they need and what they didn't even know they wanted. It also leverages real-time search data to provide personalized, relevant product suggestions that drive sales and boost average cart values. With a simple setup and continuous optimization, Do Finder's recommendations seamlessly integrate into your site, saving you time and resources. Discover the impact of intelligent recommendations today. Start your free trial at dofinder.com and watch your sales grow. Go to ecmp.info/dofinder. That's ecmp.info/dofinder. ecmp.info/dofinder. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Wiz Selvey is a powerhouse with a constant stream of ideas and insight, according to her clients. Wiz helps brands navigate the retail space in the UK, helping them stand out, build brand awareness and grow through both D2C sales and selling through retail partners. Wiz and I have been sharing tips on LinkedIn for ages, so it's great to finally be able to chat and even better to be recording that chat for all of you. Hello, Wiz.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Brilliant to have you on the show. I know what we're going to be talking about is something that is very high on the to-do list of a lot of our listeners, so I know they're going to love this episode. But how did you get started in e-commerce, just to tantalise them before we get into it?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent the last 20 years working in the retail industry. I was 12 years at Selfridges working in buying across fashion accessories and then latterly head of beauty buying. I then was director of retail at Soho House for their retail brands. And then I started a consultancy business 6 years ago, where I've worked with a range of businesses from retailers, large corporate brands, also to a lot of brand founders, particularly in the e-commerce space, that wanted to crack into retail, certainly as they're expanding their distribution channel.
So you're almost like hunter turned gamekeeper, or poacher turned gamekeeper, I should say, because you spent all that time as a buyer and now you're helping brands get the attention of buyers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's a minefield for a lot of brands if they haven't worked in retail before. It could be a real confidence challenge for a lot of brands as well, where they approach them and they don't hear back from the buyer. So they really start to kind of question whether it's the right channel for them or what they're doing with their business. And actually getting the attention of a buyer is a lot about building brand awareness and building attention with the customer, which has a direct impact on your D2C channels anyway.
Let's get into it then. Wholesale, selling to retailers, getting your product into the shops. Why is this such a popular strategy at the moment? It seems to be like one of the most exciting things, one of those things you're hearing so much about. Why is it the brand should have this on their to-do list at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years have changed dramatically. Obviously, the D2C bubble has burst a bit with the cost of customer acquisition going up massively. There's a huge amount of brands out there as well. And having a more diversified channel strategy can kind of really help scale the brand more quickly. Retailers can ultimately give access to millions of customers overnight, and also give global reach as well, particularly in the UK. There's a lot of retailers that other international retailers or customers will look at to see what's going on. Obviously, as a lot of these retailers have websites that ship it internationally, it can be a way of getting your product into the hands of people across the globe, if that's kind of part of your strategic plan.
So it's not necessarily an end in and of itself. It might be a stepping stone on the route to a bigger strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think it's diversifying your sales channels. It's working out, depending what your product is, which is the most profitable, particularly based on your price point and what the cost of customer acquisition can be. And it can also provide a real halo effect for your D2C channels as well, because it can give validation to customers. They can see it in the shop and then come find out more on your own D2C channels as well. And certainly what we're seeing is so much research has been done online, but actually that's some of that final purchase decision is happening potentially in a store, or people are researching in multi-brand retailers and then potentially are going to a brand's own website or social media channels to find out more information about the brand. So yeah, they should really kind of provide kind of that halo effect across both channels.
Is there ever a case for ignoring it? Like, I know, you know, you think back in time, there have been some brands that have gone, we're only going to go D2C for a period of time to maintain control, or until we reach a certain number. Things I'm thinking of are like Nutribullet. You know, like mysteriously, you can't buy it anywhere. You have to go direct and those kind of things. Is that an outlier strategy, or is that quite a common strategy to cut off a sales channel? I guess what I'm trying to say, Wiz, I realise it's a big question, is there any reason to avoid this if you've got your own branded products?
I don't think there's any reason to avoid it. I mean, even some of the biggest brands, I do a lot of work in the beauty space, and the biggest brands like Glossier, that was the unicorn beauty D2C brand, is now sold in Sephora. So they've gone into retail. And interestingly, Nutribullet, it's funny, I worked at Selfridges for many years. I remember buying a Nutribullet at Selfridges. So sometimes brands can use retailers to leverage growth, and then you can pull back on your distribution and be more aligned. And certainly that can happen with something like kitchen appliances, home electronics, where actually it can then end up being discounted in a lot of retailers. And then maybe they want to reposition the brand and pull that back once they've established that brand name as the go-to brand in that sector. So yeah, I always say distribution strategy isn't for life. It can evolve and change. People think once you're in the retailer, that's it, but it's not. I think it's about reviewing that regularly.
Wiz, I'm loving that. And we are definitely going to get into, before we get to the end of this episode, how you stay in the retailer once you've got that position on the shelf, the virtual or the real world shelf. But first off, you were touching there on your selection of which retailers you go into. Where do you want your products seen? Where do you want your products bought? Is it just a case of going, hello, retailers, anyone who wants us can stock us? Or are there key factors to make in deciding which segments of the retail space you want to go after?
Yeah, I think it's a balance, really, of targeting the retailers that you think are most aligned to your brand. Who's your customer and where are they shopping? Where they want to discover your brand, I think, is really integral. So kind of, I suppose, having a target of where you want to be stocked is one. And then there's also an order of approach as well. So again, it's approaching it. So there's a beauty brand, Fenty Beauty, which is Rihanna's makeup brand. And she launched for a long time in the UK in Harvey Nichols exclusively. And then after probably, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, went into Boots. So she kind of positioned herself as that luxury premium beauty brand and then later on went into Boots. She couldn't have gone with that brand into Boots and then gone into Harvey Nichols. That would have been quite tricky to do. So yeah, there's an order of approach when you're thinking about a retailer strategy. And also, it takes time to get into retailers. Pitching to them doesn't mean it's going to happen straight away, which can be a huge frustration to brands. So it's one thing deciding on where you'd like to be, then it's another thing approaching, pitching to them, trying to get the buyer's attention outside of the direct approach as well, which will help, yeah, work out what your distribution strategy is at what time.
One would assume that, you know, Fenty probably didn't go Harvey Nichols or bust. They went Harvey Nichols or Selfridges or Harrods or bust. Are you were going to go super premium, get one of those, so they had more options rather than just going out the one. So assuming we've got our list of our target retailers we want to go for on day one, how do we start retailing out, or, you know, reaching out to the buyers? Because I'm guessing the buyers get more than one person a week offering, you know, saying, please stock my product. So you mentioned about reaching out to the buyers. You also mentioned about getting the attention of the buyers. So what are the strategies you would deploy to get the attention of the buyers to the point where you can actually pitch to them?
Yeah, I mean, I get this question all the time. I actually, in lockdown, I distilled all of this into an online training program to teach people all of the steps that they need to know about pitching and launching and trading with retailers. And it was meant to be starting out as like 4 modules and it turned into 14. And it's, yeah, super long, but it teaches everything that you need to know when you don't know much about that category.
Wiz, at the end of the episode, will you please, please, please share that link with all of us?
Yeah,
when we get towards the end? I've got a note to make sure we share it. But what are the, because we definitely don't have time for the full 14 now, but what are the kind of the key things we need to consider when reaching out? What would your top couple of pieces of advice be?
Yeah, so when you're approaching them directly, send a pitch pack, keep it quite short and succinct, like 5 pages max. Lots of people share too much information because they have so much they want to tell them. But actually, this buyer is going to be receiving up to 100 pitches a week. They're going to be looking at your pitch deck in about 20 seconds, which is quite depressing because they're getting hundreds of emails a day from their existing suppliers, as well as new brand approaches and internal emails. So it's a very quick review. So you need to make sure that your elevator pitch and your USP really stand out. It's very different to an experience of shopping on an e-commerce website where you have an ad, people click through, there's a trail of taking them on a journey and understanding more. This is like, right, boom, this is exactly what this product is doing and why is it different to the market and why it's different to the brands that they already stock. Because this buyer is an expert in that product category. They're seeing all the brands day in, day out, what's working in their store, what's not. They're looking at the trends. They understand what consumers are wanting 6-12 months down the line. So you've got to really make sure you've refined what your point of difference is and that stands out, which I do a lot, kind of helping brands summarize that and make it quite succinct and clear. And then also proving what the commercial opportunity is, which 9 out of 10 times people forget. So how do you prove to the buyer that there's customer demand? If you're got a strong e-commerce business, there's lots of metrics that you can put into that. But ultimately, a buyer wants to know that there's customer demand, because if there's not enough customer demand, the brand isn't necessarily going to sell. So once you go into that retailer, you're suddenly surrounded by all of the other best brands in your product category. You're no longer standing out. So that customer needs to have heard about your brand before they go into the shop or go onto their website to be able to recognize it. So including that in the pitch is super important. So to pique the buyer's interest, they're 50% commercial, 50% creative. So they've got the creative angle of kind of what are the trends and how they're spotting them and that instinct for what's coming down the line. And then but they're super commercial and they're trading big businesses. They've got really aggressive sales targets and profit margins to achieve. So they need to know that it's going to take money.
It's like, you know, if you wander down the health and beauty aisle or any aisle in any supermarket to go to, you know, like the absolute crux of the retail space, there's only so much shelf space for that particular product category.
Yeah.
And you are trying to persuade the buyer to take off something and to put your untested product in there. And it's like, yeah, it's got to fit the range plan. It's got to fit the trends. It's got to be attractive to the customer. And it's got to have the numbers. I can't believe that many people forget to put the commercials into their pitch pack. That is just mad. I mentioned, let's stick with the area we're in there. Should we be doing trade shows? Does that work for the high street retailers? Is it worth going to the NEC or to Vegas or wherever and having a stand and flogging our wares? Or is it all about getting into the inbox?
I suppose, a multi-pronged approach. If you approach them and the buyer's never heard of you, they're going to think, well, I've never heard of this brand. Ultimately, they want to see that what's happening in the industry and what's happening in the market and what consumers are picking up. So that can be all your brand awareness touch points that you're doing for e-commerce, so your social media, your PR, how are customers discovering it? Yes, a trade fair is another touch point where a buyer could discover you. But if you think about when you're building a brand, you've kind of got your marketing rule of seven. People need to see your brand multiple different times, ideally in different touch points. It's not just about digital advertising and plugging the same ad at a customer. They want to see that actually this brand has been seen in lots of different places, which kind of builds that hype and that demand with customers, which is what the buyer is ultimately looking for. If you're just focused on one channel, then they're going to think, well, that's great because they're targeting that customer, but that's not necessarily going to be a proof point for my customer and the customer that I know and what they want in the industry.
And how long might it take from the first time you send your pitch pack and email to a buyer to the point where you end up, let's say, talking to them? Let's not talk about being on the shelf. Let's say talking to them.
I mean, it could be a couple of months. It could be a couple of years. And I've worked with brands that, we've developed. They had a great point of difference. It was a growing new category that was emerging. And we worked on including their proof points, what their elevator pitch, what they stood for. And within 4 months, they've got an agreement to launch. And then that was probably 10 months until they actually launched. But other brands, they don't hear anything back the first time. Then they give up, which I would say never give up. It's a sales process. It's a journey. Other people, it takes a couple of years to get some traction. But it isn't a one pitch and then you don't hear back and then it's done. You've got to continue to build awareness. And don't keep sending the buyer the same pitch pack going, it's me again, are you ready to talk? Because if they didn't like it the first time or it wasn't right, just sending the same thing again isn't going to be impressing them. So again, what's your, I suppose, sales pipeline strategy? How are you then focusing on creating customer demand for it, building more brand awareness, making sure you're sharing that with the buyer to demonstrate what you're doing on an interim basis?
So I guess, you mentioned there about the people who it was 10 months between agreement to launch and actual launch happening. You definitely don't want to in December be sending them, here's our Christmas offering. You need to be thinking in the seasonality of a buyer and thinking, right, as people are hearing this, it's the beginning of August. Don't pitch Christmas, guys. It's really past. You should potentially be pitching Christmas 2025 right now. Would that be about right?
Yeah, and it depends on the size of the retailers. A lot of them are working minimum 6 months ahead. A lot of the major ones and multi-store and huge corporations are doing 12 months. And some of them, where it's peak planning and Christmas, they're doing up to 18 months. So yeah, it does vary by retailer. And yes, sometimes some of them are nimble and make some changes if they see something amazing, but it's quite unlikely. And that's where they don't have this huge infrastructure as some of these big corporations, where you think of supermarkets that have got hundreds of stores and planograms, and it can take a really long time. All these big US like places like Ulta with over 1,000 stores. It's a huge ship to steer if you want to make some changes. It just can't happen.
So we've got to be patient. That's what we're saying here. You've got to be patient.
Yeah.
But not sit in your office being patient. Actually get proactive about it. So Let's say we've got that initial listing. We've got some of our range sitting on the shelf in the retailer or online on the retailer's website. What do we do to make sure it's successful? It's not just, oh, it's there, game over, we can now chill out and the sales will just come rolling in. How do we build it to be even more successful, more units, more lines and so forth?
Yeah, and I mean, this obviously could be a misconception as well, that actually once you put it in the store, it's just going to sell, or the retailer's going to market it for you. Well, they're not. They are potentially managing hundreds of brands, and it's up to you to be driving the trade and doing retail marketing. And that's twofold. That is, what are the opportunities the retailer provide for you for marketing? So that could be, yeah, pop-ups in store. That could be taking the end of an aisle in the supermarket. That could be doing funding a promotion for 3 for 2 in Boots. That could be taking some light boxes.
Sorry to butt in. But when you're saying offering you some marketing, that's your opportunity to buy some better positioning in the store, isn't it? This is you paying them to put you on an end,
yeah,
or a pop-up or so, mm-hmm, forth. Cool. Sorry, I carry on with your brilliant list of things.
It's a great question. Yeah, they're giving you the opportunity to do that over another brand. So you need to be planning that into your launch and trading plan. And then also, what are you doing outside of the store to drive awareness that you've launched with them? So it could be out of home advertising. We are now stocked in Waitrose. Or it could be you're doing a pop-up at Selfridges and you staff that for a week and you bring in the staff to be able to drive the additional sales of that space. You could be doing an influencer launch where you're bringing key influencers in when you're doing certain activation in store. So it's kind of twofold. What are you doing with the retailer and what are you doing outside the retailer to drive the awareness? And again, what are you doing in your own D2C channels to drive that awareness? Which again is an interesting one, because you often see teams where you have separate e-commerce and retail marketing teams and they don't necessarily talk. It should be a happy marriage. They're like fighting for stock or not talking about what their strategies are, which can be hugely damaging, because if one retailer's got promotion or your e-commerce website's got a promotion, you need to be aligning that with your other distribution channels, making sure it's not conflicting, it's complementing. So yeah, there's a lot of different considerations that you need to be thinking of, but ultimately you need to be driving that business.
Is there ever a case for putting part of your range out to retail and keeping the rest of the range as D2C only? You know, I'm thinking of, I know you sell the electric toothbrush in retail, but you have to come back to the website to get the replacement heads. Does that fly with retail buyers? Is it a good strategy, or are you just overcomplicating an already complicated scenario?
With something like that, that's just going to piss off a customer. So you've got to put the customer at the heart of the decision. If I bought this toothbrush here and then I can't buy the toothbrush heads, well, that's ridiculous. So that a buyer would never go for that in an initial point of view. You see a lot of brands that sometimes have exclusives on their own website, but then also the retailers want exclusives as well. So multi-brand retail is highly competitive and they all are trying to get a win over their competitors as well. So they want to see, okay, well, what are the new products launching and how can we have something that's different to what's happened with other retailers and then potentially also the direct-to-consumer channels. So yeah, it's a juggle between all of it really, but there are certain products also that maybe just work better on D2C, like bundles or larger sizes or things like that. So I think it's so dependent on the product category and the range plan and what the customer wants. So it can, yeah, certainly evolve with the product range and the distribution strategy.
Cool. Wes, we've covered a load of stuff there, kind of slung our little way over the basics of all the key areas, I think. But is there any key thing we've missed we ought to let the audience know before we move into the top tips?
Oh, great question. I mean, I could talk about this for hours, but yeah, I think the key thing to remember is retail can take time and to certainly not give up if you don't hear back from buyers straight away. And it needs a lot of work, but there's a huge amount of opportunity and growth that can really help harness the growth on your e-commerce channels as well and reduce some of your customer acquisition costs. Also thinking about, don't go too broad with your distribution strategy early on. And sometimes if you get some great traction and lots of retailers approaching you, which obviously is the dream for them to approach you rather than you having to pitch to them directly, if you're doing the right things in the market, they will get in contact with you and say, let's have a meeting. If you are in that situation and you get multiple offers. It's actually, well, try and go at it, yeah, maybe one at a time or a couple at a time. Don't do too many, because it does take work to trade the business with them, and money and budget from the marketing point of view. So you're better doing one really well than going into four and, yeah, not being able to manage it and potentially being delisted.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. Do Finder's upgraded intelligent product recommendations make it easy to increase your revenue with little effort. The AI-powered system automates cross-selling, ensuring your customers see exactly what they need and what they didn't even know they wanted. It also leverages real-time search data to provide personalized, relevant product suggestions that drive sales and boost average cart values. With a simple setup and continuous optimization, Do Finder's recommendations seamlessly integrate into your site, saving you time and resources. Discover the impact of intelligent recommendations today. Start your free trial at dofinder.com and watch your sales grow. Go to ecmp.info/dofinder. That's ecmp.info/dofinder. ecmp.info/dofinder.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Wiz, are you ready for the top tips?
Absolutely.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So I think if you're thinking about retail, there's a great book written by Leonard Lauder, obviously the son of Estee Lauder, and he's still running Estee Lauder Corporation. I think he might have just stepped down, actually. But it's called The Company I Keep. And there's a lot of principles there, even from the early days of retail and pitching, about, yeah, how to keep that momentum and how to keep buyers interested and keep persistent when they say no.
Ah, top tip. Never heard of that book, so I shall have to go and have a look at that one myself. Traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I think the one that doesn't get the press it deserves is thinking about the customer journey and after brand loyalty. A lot of people stop there. How do you really build brand advocates? Because essentially this is free PR for your brand. So what are you doing with your loyal customers? How are you rewarding them and how are you really getting them to tell all their friends about your brand? It can often be forgotten about, but ultimately it's free PR, and the trust that we have from our friends telling us about a brand or business. Very often you're mid-conversation, that person's starting to research or buy that product on their phone as they're talking about it. So it can be a really quick win to, I think, review what you're doing with your best customers and create those brand advocates.
I love that answer. That's brilliant. Okay, tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yeah, urgent, important matrix. So how do you plan your week and your day? We all have so much we can do, and it just to-do lists build up and up and up. But how do you divide your to-do list into what's really important? So divide your page into four quadrants: urgent, important, important, not urgent, urgent, not important. And so you can start to kind of really start to think, well, actually, what do I really need to do? And is there anything I can just cross off and park?
I love an old school proper pen and paper tip in this section of the podcast. So I Love. And I'm also a big fan of the Urgent Important Matrix too. So a brilliant recommendation. You should all be doing this, all of you, please. Okay, the last top tip is the carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Yeah, I think packaging is quite an interesting one, particularly as we're talking about retail as well, because you very much need outer packaging for retail. So I suppose, what is your proposition for e-commerce versus retail? And sometimes that can reduce the carbon footprint, but actually if you're having to double up as well, does it or doesn't it? So it's a complex one. And I see a lot of e-commerce brands that don't have outer packaging and then have to create it for retail. So I suppose, how do you adapt to that change in strategy and align it to what's happening with your e-commerce platform?
I love that. Yeah, so many brands don't think about that outer packaging, or that product packaging, I suppose, rather than the actual parcel. But it's such a big part of the piece. Love that one. Okay, Wiz, earlier on, we said you were going to share the information about your course. Let's do that. And then you can let everyone else know how they can get in touch with you if they want to know about anything else. So how do we get our hands on that epic course you've created?
Yeah, I have this big training course, which you can do as self-paced learning, or you also can do it with strategy mentoring from me. So I can help you review your pitch pack, your elevator pitch, your proof of concepts. So pretend that I'm the buyer, send it to me, and I give you that very direct and honest feedback of what to change and evolve to try and help you succeed with pitching with retailers, which has seen people, brands launching some of the biggest retailers out there. So yeah, that's one way of working with me. I also have a short 4-part training as well, which I will share a free access code for you to be able to watch as well. I do a lot of free content, which I put out through my newsletter. So do come and sign up on my website, which is wizandco.com. That's W-I-Z-Z. And I'm very active on LinkedIn. I also help a lot of businesses once they're into retailers with that trade and marketing plan as well. So once you're in there, how do you make sure you stay in there and really propel the business forward while also protecting your D2C channels, but also using that new distribution channel as leverage for more sales with D2C. So yeah, I do that with brands of lots of different shapes and sizes. I've worked across multiple different categories. I do a lot in the beauty space, but not exclusively. So yeah, please come and follow me. Ask me any questions. I know it's a topic that everyone always has questions on. So yeah, come and message me on LinkedIn or Instagram.
Brilliant. Thank you, Wiz. So guys, if you've got questions, go find Wiz on either Instagram or LinkedIn. You can also go to wizandco.com to find out all sorts of information about how Wiz can help you. And we're going to put information about the training course and that special access code on the website for you. So just go to the correct page for this episode and you will get hold of all of that. Wiz, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I think you've opened the audience's eyes to an area where I suspect a lot of them are interested in or trying to get into at the moment, and help them out immeasurably. So thank you so much for being here.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, so much great advice there from Wiz. A real pleasure to catch up with her. We covered kind of all those key tenets of how to go about getting into physical retail stores, especially the larger high street ones. If you want to get into small boutiques, very different strategy. But if you want to get into those chain stores, the supermarkets, all that sort of thing, it really is about choosing who you're going to target. Where do you want to be? Creating the materials that will pique the buyer's interest so they decide they want to talk to you. Being ready to take yourself through that process. And then once you're in there, doing lots to keep yourself in there, funding promotions, funding discounts, paying for better display, building that partnership relationship with the retailer and your own marketing as well. Huge project to undertake, not a quick win either, but it can be huge and highly transformational, as Wiz was outlining. You can get your hands on the notes from this episode, including the top tips and links to that brilliant course and the special access code at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or use our direct to episode short link to go straight to the correct page on the site with all the info on it. You'll find that via ecmp.info/the number of this episode. Just put that in the URL bar and you'll go to that correct page. When you get to the website, I know you're aiming to just grab the link to the training resource and head straight over there, but you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business, like our e-commerce explored webinar series and our Keep Optimizing podcast. Now, if you liked this episode, then I've got a couple of recommendations for you to listen to next. First up, episode 460 that I recorded with Mark from toothbrush brand Suri, who's sharing how they got themselves listed in key UK high street chain Boots. Plus, back in May on our sister show Keep Optimizing, we did a whole month on different ways to expand beyond your website channel, including retail, cross-border, wholesale, marketplaces, and more. You can find that on the Keep Optimizing podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. It's awesome to have you listening. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners just like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Have a brilliant week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.